Idea that it's a family camp. We'd still like to introduce you to our family. This is a picture of the family here. Our daughter. Want to talk about our daughter here real quick?
Yes, she is 19, just turned 19, and she is going to college at Andrews University. We miss her a lot, so we are hugging her all summer long that we get to have her. Her name is Yariani, and you'll see them around.
Yeah, she's at Andrews now doing physical therapy, and she finished her first year, and we're just like, wow, she's just done 1 year. And then we have our son, Gerald. He just graduated from eighth grade, and we just had a graduation this week. So now we have a high schooler at the house. How many of you have high schoolers in your home? Let me see your hand. All right. How is it like? I'm going to have a meeting with you guys later on and just give us some tips, you know, because it's like a metamorphosis, you know, they're not middle schoolers anymore, and then high schoolers, and they begin to solve the change right there.
More.
Yeah, but we're excited, looking forward to the next 4 years that they have. Now, we got two more kids. You want to talk about them?
These are our two biological kids. Now, we adopted two more, and these are our four-legged kids. Pixie is the tan color one, and Oreo is the black and white. Did you guess Oreo? Should have asked him.
Guess the name. And we had a little incident yesterday. Actually, we left them. We usually leave them outside, and my parents are in town, and so but they were with my sister for the day, and there was a huge storm going through Dallas when we left, and they had their whole place in the backyard and all that. But I think they got really, really scared with the storm and the thunders, and then they dug out under the fence. So our neighbor calls us when we're here and says,
Last night.
I believe your dogs are outside. And it says, oh, really? It says, they're outside. And so the neighbor just helped us to, my son was really worried because he's always worried about his dog, and he says, "That's what I don't like to leave them alone." No? But they're good. They're all back. So my sister went back there, and then she just repatched all the fence around it and put rocks and put bricks and all that. So we're hopeful those kids are doing good for the rest of the week. But we're here. We don't want to hear again about them. All right. So this day we are going to be here talking about. Anybody knows what we're going to talk about? What's the title of our topic today? Unmasking what? Unmasking what could potentially hurt your marriage. All right, so I'm assuming that most of you here are married or have been married or are looking to be married. I'm not going to ask who are you and what position you are, you know. But you're here because somehow you're interested in finding out how to continue to have a great marriage. Say amen. All right, continue to have a great marriage, or you can wanted to have some tools to know when you get married, or just maybe you want to strengthen what you have.
How many of you? Or maybe help somebody else.
Or maybe help somebody else. That's absolutely right. Now, how many of you remember the day you got married? Let me see your hands. All right, you still do. All right, how many of you don't remember that day? All right, good. So let me just play a little video here for you, and you can just crank that sound there for us. A little video will remind you of that day. Let's see if we can, all right?
Do you, Lauren, promise to take this man to be your husband, to live together in holy matrimony?
I do.
Do you, Dan, promise to take this woman to be your wife, to live together in holy matrimony?
I do.
Do you promise to live with her in all honor, to cherish, love, and respect her as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Lauren, do you promise to serve him in all honor, to live with him and cherish him? Do you promise to comfort him when he's had a bad day, to clean up the kitchen and fold his boxer shorts without even a thank you? Will you refrain from thinking that you've made a mistake when you realize he doesn't know how to fix a toilet? A car, a washing machine, or much of anything else for that matter?
I do.
Dan, do you promise to comfort her and keep her in sickness and in health? Do you promise to attend chick flicks couples home builder studies, weekend retreats about better relationships, to change poopy diapers during the Super Bowl, and to take out the trash with a smile? Will you promise not to freak out in an argument when her logic makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but hey, you're still wrong? Lauren, will you be gracious when he flexes his muscles in front of the mirror in his underwear, even though he's become 25 pounds overweight and hairy in some unusual places? Dan? Dan?
Yes.
Will you not cry like a baby when you realize that sex comes right after sorting hangers on her list of priorities? And will you say, honey, you look pretty today?
Honey, you look pretty today.
Even though she's 25 pounds overweight and hairy in some unusual places? Well, do you?
I still do.
Then by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife. What God has brought together, let no man put asunder. You may kiss the bride. But don't mess up her makeup. She still has 157 more pictures to pose for.
Got it.
Go for it.
Alright, do me a favor here. If you're with your spouse, turn to your spouse, whether you feel like it or not, and tell her, I still do. Come on, do it right now. Some of you are like, I don't know.
Still, let me think about it.
I'll think about it. Still. Hey, that's a little plug-in for your seminar coming up. I still do. August 11 through 13. How you picked up a flyer in the back there, because we still do. But you know, let's just think a little bit about this. We all marry with a great desire to stay married for.
When you got married, those of you who are married here and those who are planning to get married, how's your cup of love? Was full, right? It wasn't only full, but it was overflowing so much that you had to invite all your friends and family to come and get some of this love, right?
Your mom could not change your mind. Remember that? I mean, they tried to change your mind, but, you know, you still marry her, you still marry him anyway, because in your mind, you are convinced nothing changes absolutely that desire to get married.
Yeah. Nobody can change your mind.
But then, you know, life begins to happen.
Life
right?
happens.
Marriage. How many of you have realized that marriage, life begins to happen? All right. First week, you're still excited, right? Second week, you're still excited. And you know, things begin to come into the picture of our marriage life. And things that you thought you would do, you're somehow...
In fact, when we were going to get married, we went to have pre-marriage counseling. And one of the things that the counselor asked me was, Katie, why do you like Ruber? Why are you in love with him? You know, so when you're in love, you know, you have this long list. Remember that?
Yeah, okay. She did have a long list.
It was a long list. Well, one of the items on that list was, well, I like that he brings me a rose every Friday.
Ladies, come on.
Right, so the counselor said, okay, well, you need to come down from that cloud, girl, because 3 months into the marriage, the roses will stop. It's not Friday today. It's a good thing. I would ask, where is my rose?
You know, Right at that moment, I really got upset with that counselor, and I said, you don't know me. As long as I live, every day of my life, I'm going to prove you wrong. There's a rose every Friday that will come and be delivered to her. Every Friday. Every Why are you looking Friday? At me like that? Every Friday.
Where was my rose
every
last
Friday.
Friday?
Every Friday. You know, I really understood how Peter felt when Jesus told him that you will deny me. Peter, what did Peter say? Never, never. You know, I understood that. You know, Peter really wanted not to deny Jesus. But somehow, you know, when life begins to take place, there are some good, really good habits that we have in our relationship, in our dating days, that they begin to fade out. So there's some things that run out. So I want you to just for a moment think about one good habit that you had when you were dating. Think about it. One good habit that you had when you were dating. Think about it. What was a good habit that you had? Okay, you want to say it? Okay, sure. What was a good habit that you had when you were dating? Pray together every night. Great habit to have. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Another great habit you had when you were dating?
Give each other massages.
Give each other massages. There we go. Woo, that's a good one. Okay. I saw another hand right here. Good habit.
Lots of kissing.
Okay, lots of kissing. All right. Another good habit when we're dating.
Opening the door.
Oh, opening the door. Absolutely.
Courtesy.
Absolutely. What else? Another good habit.
Holding hands.
Good habits. Holding hands. Another good habit.
Saying I love you.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, the reality is that without even planning it, some of these good habits somehow begin to what? They begin to... Now, do you think that I actually sat down and planned and I said, I will stop bringing her roses every Friday? Come on, guys, help me out. Do you think I planned that out? Do you think I purposely said, I will stop bringing her roses every Friday, even though that was my long life dream to prove this counselor wrong, to prove that I love her, but somehow right at the third month, the roses actually stopped. So things begin to fade out. So help me out. Starting from the back there, they're quiet there in the back, you know. Help me out. What are some of those things, some of the other things that begin to fade out? Some of those good habits that fade out without even planning on them. Help me out. We stop sorting hangers. Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
Going on dates.
A good habit that we begin to just somehow, it fades out. We never intended for that to stop, but it begins. Somebody in the back here. What are some of the good habits that somehow begin to fade?
Writing love notes.
Absolutely right. Okay, what else?
Priority changes.
Okay? Do you intentionally want that to change? That was never in our mind when we were dating, right? We got it straight. What were our priorities straight when we were dating? Come on, help us out. We had it right. What are our priorities? We had God. You know, somebody said here, we pray every night, right? So, especially for those of you who are Christians, our priorities were straight. God is... Then we said, what is the second part in priority? Yeah, we're going to be together. That's our priority. And then
everything else came after.
Everything else comes into the picture. Okay? So when these good habits begin to happen, what is the...
What's left when there is no more kissing, like somebody said... Good habit was a lot of kissing, right? When that stops, when we stop doing things together, when we stop communicating, right? We used to talk a lot. Remember that? You could be on the phone till 1, 2 in the morning, right? And you still had to get up at 6 the next morning to go to work, but you still took the time to talk and listen to each other, right? Okay. So what's left when all these things start to drain out?
That's about it.
That's about it.
You're just roommates. How exciting that is.
Yeah.
Some of the things that irritate you, you never mentioned on the kind of problem.
Yeah.
So it changes. I think it gets deeper as it changes.
So the habits that you used to have may have shifted to different habits, but there's some good habits that
there.
Somehow are still deepening the relationship. Is that right? So it's not necessarily that I don't do these certain things, but I continue to have the habits of maintaining a solid and good relationship. Now, how many of you heard about James Dobson? Any of you, James Dobson? I'm the guru of family life. You want to share with them what
he... This is one of his quotes. He says, "Marriages are fragile. They must be nurtured and protected if they are to survive for a lifetime." So all those good habits, right, that we're talking about, those are habits that actually nurture your relationship.
Now, wait a minute. If we were to stop nurturing and protecting the marriage, what is the end result?
It dies.
It dies, okay? So whether you discover some new habits now, and some of you have been married 30, 40, 50 years, you perhaps, you know, the roses are not coming too very often, right?
Yeah.
They're not coming very often.
No, they don't come every Friday.
But have I developed some good?
Do I have some good? Yes.
I'm trying to defend myself here.
He wants to defend himself, yes, you know. But yeah, I always say in his defense, right, he makes up for it. I never know when they're coming, but they come out of the blue, not because it's my birthday or Mother's Day or Christmas or any of the others, but they just come out of the blue, and it's not just one, but it's a huge bouquet.
I actually count how many Fridays I have between that Friday and this Friday, and I just, then it depends, sometimes I have to bring more roses than usual.
So he makes up for it, yeah.
But I will add something else to what James Dobson says. I would probably propose today that marriage is perhaps the most fragile of all relationships. It is the most fragile of all relationships. How many of you have a friend that you never seen in a long time? Let me see, a friend. Think about a friend you haven't seen in a long time. How about family members you haven't seen in a long time? Now, let me ask you a question. Have you met a friend that you haven't seen in a long time? Have you remember any of you remember an encounter? How does that happen? When you see somebody at the door that you haven't seen for 15, 20 years, how is that encounter? You meet them and you're just like, hey, hi, how are you? You are actually what? Excited. You go and run around and just hug them. In fact, when we came to do your seminar, I walked into the little pavilion there, the fellowship hall at the camp, and there's these two couple there that I haven't seen in 25 years. Never knew about their lives, never touched bases with them or anything. 25 years. And as soon as we show each other, they jump on the seat, I drop my briefcase, run to them, and it's like, yeah, how are you? Just so excited. Now, isn't that strange? You haven't seen this person for 25 years, haven't talked to them, haven't sent them a letter, anything, yet the relationship remains what? Strong. Now, let me ask you something. Drop your spouse somewhere in China. Leave her there for 25 years. Don't email him. Don't call him. Don't call her. Don't talk to her. And meet up again 25 years later. I want you to play in your mind that encounter. Come on.
You want...
Pray it out. What could it be like meeting your spouse 25 years later after no complete communication whatsoever?
Have we met before?
You look familiar.
Now, do we get the picture? Do we realize that marriage, definitely, it is the most what? Fragile of all relationships. If you do not nurture it, if you do not protect it, your marriage is going to what? It's going to die. So, I want you to do this for me. I want you to put your hands together and congratulate yourself because you decided to come here and you're here doing one thing. You are nurturing your marriage. Come on, let's put your hands together. I'm excited you're here. Because there are some couples out there that didn't come here because they say, our marriage is what? We're good. We're fine. We haven't had a fight last night while we were sleeping. We didn't fight. We're good. You know, no, you're here this morning, not just because maybe you want to strengthen your marriage. You're here this morning because you say, you know what? We are going to nurture the relationship. And I want to praise our family ministry team, Pastor Bates and his wife and the conference, because I can tell that they really purposely think about how to better our marriages. What is the end result then?
So when all these things are drained out of marriage and we don't nurture our marriage, my husband gets, and I'm just going to put this in there, he gets a lot of couples that come to him for counseling. And so one of the most common complaints is, well, we don't love each other anymore.
Yeah, we don't.
Have you heard that? So why? Because the marriage wasn't nurtured, was not protected. These good habits were not implemented in their marriage. And therefore, what's left? The love is gone, right? So there is a book that we came across to kind of help these couples. And it's called When Love Dies by Judy Bottomer. She's a Christian counselor. And she says, in her book, one of the paragraphs that give a little bit of hope to couples like this is, in my years of working with married couples, I have come to believe that this falling out of love is a normal part of most marriages. Almost every couple comes to the point where one or both no longer feel love for the other partner. And this is because what we're talking about, these good habits have not been put in place in their marriage. No one tells us this is going to happen. If we were told, we refuse to believe it could happen to us. Instead, our heads are full of romantic lies. And that's, when we're going to get married, we have all these happily ever after picture in our head. And if someone were to tell us this is going to happen, like the counselor told us, right?
I did
the
not
flowers,
believe.
The flowers are going to stop. Well, he got upset, and he's like, there's no way the flowers are going to stop, right? So that's something that a lot of couples, and the falling out of love apparently is a normal stage because we abandon these habits and because we're not taught to keep these habits in our marriage, then this feeling or falling out of love then comes in.
So what if we are speaking to maybe a couple or two or three couples that are feeling somehow that, you know, we're committed to each other, we get kids, and we're stuck. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in divorce. I guess, you know, I don't have hair anymore, so I don't want to go out and date anybody. And I'm 25 pounds overweight. You know, whatever your reasons are, you're saying, I'm going to stay here. But the excitement of marriage may have somehow slip out of the hand. the passion, the just, you know, I'm looking forward to be with you tonight. I'm looking forward to come home. In fact, some couples actually test to see their spouse's home so they can stay longer at work. Because they don't want to come home. They don't want to be in the same room. And a simple fact it is that couples that feel out of love is proven that these habits that you once had, you abandon them. And like my brother here just said, if you abandon the habits and you don't replace them with other good habits to nurture and protect the marriage, then you will have an absolutely lifeless, mediocre marriage. And let me tell you, to be married in a lifeless, lifeless, mediocre marriage is not very exciting. And some people will not put up with that for a long time. And what is the end result? You see it, we see it. What is the end result? The skyrocketing divorce that we have, not only in the world, in our churches, in our communities, among pastors, among leaders in our church, we're experiencing more and more of these. And a simple reason is because the good habits have somehow not been kept or protected. So this morning, we'd like to just have you do the rest of the seminar. We're done. Okay? We're done. Now is your part. I hope all of you get a little handout in the back. If you didn't get a handout, you can just go to the back and get one. And we're going to have you just do something very fun, which for us is a very, very good process to go through. Just get a little handout, bring it, grab a pen, bring it with you, and we're going to give you the next 10 minutes to check your habits. Let's look at the habits. If you're married and you're with your spouse here, you're going to have a little time to talk. We're going to have you talk about these habits. If you don't like any of those habits, then you'll have to write your own habits, but you have to have some good habits. You have to say, well, I don't agree with any of these 26 habits here, but turn the page, and then you write, what are the good habits that you have today that are protecting and nurturing your marriage? And we're going to ask a good deacon to stand in the door there and don't let anybody leave. He's you need a pen too, yeah. Oh, he went for a pen. Oh, I thought he was leaving. No, he's... Because, you know, especially for us men, let me tell you something for us men. As long as you talk and don't get me to do something, I'm good about it. But as long as I'm asked to evaluate my marriage, some of us get pretty scared. And so don't be scared now. What we're going to do is just, we want to just make sure that we... So go ahead and let me just explain to you real quick how you're going to do this. You're going to focus on the first column first. Look at this at the screen here. You get a question or statement of a habit. Let me just... First habit is, I write love notes to my spouse. You're only going to answer or circle the yes or no on the first column, just as you see it here on the screen. If you do that, you circle yes. If you don't do it, you circle no. Simple as that. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? Those are 25 habits. Okay? Now, remember, as you go down to this, you may find that there are habits that you have that are not here. You may want to add them to the list. Okay? Because you want to prove to your spouse that you still have some good habits. All right? And then the thing is, he or she is going to confirm if those habits are still in your marriage. Now, if you're not with your spouse here today, and your spouse is in another seminar, I will encourage you to, we still have some handouts in the back, take one so you and I can sit at lunchtime together and go over these and just do a review on the habits. Okay? Any questions so far? All right, go for it. We're going to give you 10 minutes to go ahead and finish all the 26. You got all the 26 habits. How are those 26 habits in you? They're right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. For now, you only focus on you. The one that says you. You don't do your the column that says spouse. You don't do any of that. That's for later. We're gonna tell you what to do. Focus on the column that says you. Just you.
Yeah.
We're gonna get there in a moment. We're gonna get there in a moment. If you're single, then you can say, these are the habits that I like to have when I get married. All right? So just focus on you as you are looking forward to that marriage. This is what I want my spouse to have.
Yes, for everything.
And what you want to have too, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Once a month, once a year. If you're married, you need to ask your spouse what that means. Yeah. Because for some people, once a day is, it means yes. Once a month, it means no. It all depends who you're married to. Done? All right. Wow, this is exciting. Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. Husbands, tell your spouse what your answer was. You're going to go to them and you tell them, I answer number one, I answer yes. And so, wives, you're going to, well, he answered no. So wives, you're going to circle. You're still keeping your paper. You're going to answer what your spouse answer is. So the idea is you want to know what he answered. So husbands say one, no, two, no. And then on the column that says spouse, you will be circling what the answer of your spouse is. The idea is you want to know what he answered. I'm starting with the husbands. Okay? Everybody understand what we're doing? No? Okay. Husbands, you just turn to your spouse and tell her what your answer is, and you will answer.
Wives
here.
Wives are going to be marking their spouse's answers.
Wives.
There is no interchange.
Yeah.
Just keep
yeah, if you're here by yourself, then you won't be able to do this. If you're by, you communicate. Yeah. You're saying, the husband is saying, honey, I marked in number one. Here's my answer. And then you just write it down.
Everybody understood?
Everybody get? Good. Share. Come on. Husbands, this is your time to share. Tell him what you answer. Good question.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's clarify here a little bit here in case.
May I borrow yours? Are you done? Your paper.
Let's do a little example here. Some of you are trying to figure out this.
Yeah. Let's clarify any confusion.
I'm the husband, and I'm telling...
Everyone have your own paper.
And okay. I said, honey, I answered in number one, I answered no.
Okay, so in the column where it says spouse, I'm going to answer my spouse's answer, okay?
She's just writing what I answered.
So one what?
And one is no. So she circles no. Number two, I answered no. Number three, I answered yes.
I'm not talking. He's doing all the talking. Okay, keep going.
So I'm just telling her what I answered, so she writes it in her paper so she knows what I answered. Is that clear? Got it? All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once you're finished, then you switch. The wives will tell the husband. Wives will tell the husband. In the back. que eliminar esto.
Sí,
definitivamente.
De todo el tiempo, sí.
If the husbands already finished sharing, now the wives share the answer to the husbands. So now the husbands are supposed to be answering what the wives answered. Acts of renewal.
Oh,
acts of renewal. How are we doing? Husbands, wife, did everybody share? Anybody still need a minute?
Their ministry is called.
We're still finished. Okay, go for it. Okay.
My sister takes good advantage.
Let me just share a little something here with you. As you're finishing there sharing, some of you are like, well, some husbands are like, I told you we should not come to that seminar. I wanted to go to the one on evangelism. My marriage was perfect until I just did this. I was doing good.
And some people might have the question, you know, how often are these habits good to, you know, the frequency of this? And that's why it's good to talk about it, for you guys to talk about it. And we will have you talk about it after we leave here. But, you know, for some people, once a month would be good. It's good for them. They feel good about it. For some other people, it might be every 2 weeks or every 3 months or every day. So that's why it's good to communicate.
The sometimes, it depends. It really depends on, that's why we don't have the sometimes in there. It is a yes or a no, because for every individual, the need are what? They're different. Let me give you an illustration here for some of you who are about to have a little discussion. We worked with different couples for several years, and one of the couples that stands out for us is Gloria and Dennis. Gloria and Dennis, they married in 1972.
You can tell their cup is full, right?
Yeah. Look at that. Look how he's kissing her. I bet some of your pictures, wedding pictures, look like that too. You know, you're just like, the love, the passion, it's exciting. They were married for 25 years. And like many of us who choose, not choose, but many of us who forget to nurture and protect. Say it with me, nurture. All right, that was only two of you. Say it with me, nurture. Say it with me, you protect. Two words I want you to remember before you leave. Nurture and what? And protect. We let life get in the way and we stop nurturing and protecting the marriage. And the end result is when these good habits begin to be absent, then we begin to feel that love is not there anymore. And then we make these choices of divorcing and separating and all these things that are breaking out our society. 25 years later, they got fed up because the habits have completely stopped, the good habits. In fact, it has been replaced by bad habits. We picked up a lot of those bad habits through the years in our marriage. And one morning she woke up and says, I'm done. They have 5 kids. She was a Pathfinder leader. She was head deaconess. She was community service director. Very involved. The whole family was really involved in church. But the good habits, in her heart, he did not love her anymore. In her heart. In his heart, she did not love him anymore. Because the good habits are completely what? They're gone. They're absent. So the reality is, if these habits that brought us together in the first place are not there, my assumption, if there is no communication, my assumption is, you do not what? You do not love me. So what happened to this couple there?
So after all that time, one morning, she picked up her bags and left. And left her 5 children and her husband. And everything just went down the drain from that day on. Everything just got worse and worse and worse. Their kids got into drugs. Well, not all of them, but the oldest one got into drugs. And they both went the path of alcoholism and promiscuity. And the girl,
the second girl, she committed, she tried to commit suicide 2 times. The second time, actually went to see her at the hospital. She jumped out of a 2-story house, tried to kill herself, but she failed. And that is the end result of stopping the good habits. Husbands leave the house. Wives leave the house because there is no reason for me to stay in this relationship anymore. I don't feel love. You don't love me. I don't love you. Why to be in this relationship? And for 16 years, this couple were separate ways. 16 years later, we worked with this couple off and on for about 10 years. Off and on. I left that district, moved to another district. And in 2013, she called and she said, Pastor, August 25th, something very exciting is going to happen.
Go back.
Oh, what do we need to go back?
Go back.
Tell me. What did I miss in the story?
You missed Jesus in the story. Okay.
Oh, so yeah. I missed Jesus.
Before
in the story.
Before we left the district, we had an evangelistic campaign. And the preacher that came to hold the evangelistic campaign challenged the members and said, go out there and think for somebody that you couldn't be in heaven without. Go visit with them.
Yeah.
And tell them you need to come with me and that you will not leave their place until they agree to come with you. So this young lady that had grown up with the second daughter
that tried to commit suicide twice.
that was in our church, and she went to her apartment, and she said, Tiffany, I'm here to bring you with me. You have to come with me. And she's like, no, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with the church. Leave me alone. Go home. And she's like, I am not leaving your apartment until you come with me. And she stood her ground. And so Tiffany, just to brush her off her shoulder, she agreed. She said, okay, I'll come with you. So they got ready and they went to church. And in that meeting, you know, they were late, of course, because Tiffany wouldn't leave the apartment, but finally she agreed. They went, and that night, the preacher made a call for baptism. And Tiffany came to the call. And so then after that, the next day, she said, I have to find my mom. And so she went, looked for her mom. They didn't know where mom was, and looked for her mom, found her mom a couple days later, and she said, Mom, you have to come with me. I cannot leave this place until you come with me. And so mom agreed, okay, let's go. So the daughter brought the mom. So they come through the, you know, the back of the church. There comes the church friend that went to the daughter's place, and they both come in, and then mom comes after her. And so they sat in the last pew there. And the pastor made another call, and they both came to the front. And they invited Jesus into their heart once more. And then the daughter told mom, Mom, we have to find Dad. We have to find Dad. They looked for Dad. And then a couple more nights later, they come, the four of them with the church member, the four of them come in, and they all gave their lives to Jesus again.
And from that day, they picked up some of the good habits they have abandoned. Some of the things that you saw there in that list right there, because we've talked to them for so many times, separately they tried, it never worked. Well, the first reason why it never worked is because they had abandoned the love giver. Amen? Jesus is the love giver. Amen? And so they bring Jesus back into their family. They picked up some of the good habits. They begin to practice these habits, even though sometimes you don't feel like practicing these habits. And in 2013, she called me and she says, Pastor, on August 25th, 2013, Dennis and I, we're going to renew our wedding vows. And after 16 years of promiscuity, alcoholism, drug addiction, and completely disarray in the relationship, here is Gloria and Dennis today. This is what they do now for a living. They have a motorcycle, they both retire, and they like to travel around telling people what God has done in their marriage. So today I want you to be encouraged, because some of you are thinking, man, I put more no's than yes. And what does that mean? I put some more no's than yes. Well, I'm going to have you count your no's. See, go to that page again. Count how many no's do you check. Get a little bit of a test here. How many no's do you check? Don't tell me. Just write it down at the bottom of the sheet. You got 3 no's, 4 no's, 5 no's, 6 no's, 10 no's, 15 no's, 14 no's. Well, if you want to know what that means, you know, you turn your page, it kind of tells you a little bit on the other side of the page. What will this no's may, what will be the significance of this no's for a little moment? Okay? So let's just assume that you only have 6 no's. What does that mean? Turn your page to page 2.
Well, 6 no's would mean that you are in a healthy marriage. In a healthy relationship.
How many of you say, yay! Yeah, 6 no's. I only have 6 no's. Good.
It is impossible that you have all 26 good habits. We've only found one couple in all 18 years that we have been doing this.
Yeah, only one couple that had the 26 yes.
Only one couple had, everything was yes, 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 yes. You want to know their secret? You want to know their secret?
Here's the secret.
The secret is they had gotten married the day before.
We were like, and you're here? It should be somewhere in Hawaii, you know?
No, but hey, they were starting their marriage life on the right path.
What a good way. We should have done that.
Yeah. Life happens, you know? Having a few no's is perfectly normal because we all have children problem. Maybe we have teenagers, we have financial problems, we have health problems, we have job problems, we have all kinds of things.
Let me tell you a problem of a couple. We were doing another seminar, and he was a recently baptized member. He was a judge, a city judge, and we're doing this little inventory here. We call it the marriage scope. And they're laughing right there in the back, laughing. I mean, and this is a judge, you know, a judge.
Judge.
I mean, you want the judge when you are in the courtroom. You better be what? So I'm thinking, like, man, this judge is very disrespectful, you know. And so finally, I said, "Your Excellency, I noticed that you're having a good time there. You cannot stop laughing. What is the joke?" And he says, "Well," he says, "me and my wife," he says, We both checked no in number 16. Yeah, that's what everybody did. And I take showers together with my spouse. And I said, and why is so funny about it? He says, well, we don't take showers because we don't fit in the tub anymore. No, here's the deal. And here's what I want to give you. We only have 15 more minutes, and it's going to be a time for you to talk as husband and wife, okay? And if you are by yourself, you still kind of think about it, and then the last minute, we're going to have a special prayer. It is possible that some of the no's that you checked are absolutely, completely okay. Like the judge couple. They're not suffering because they're not taking a shower together. It's not important to them. If he doesn't shower with her, he doesn't mind. If she doesn't shower with him, she doesn't mind. You know what that means? That means if they have 10 no's, how many no's do they have now? 9. So good for you. So what we want you to do for the next 15 minutes is, as husband and wife, you're going to turn around and you're going to talk about your no's. And you begin to especially talk to the no's that you have checked both together. Let's say, let me see if I have mine here. Let me go back to...
write love notes.
All right. Write love notes. You know, let's say both of you wrote no. I mean, both of you checked no on the I write love notes. And then you check no and your spouse check no. You see it there because it's in the paper. Is that clear, everybody? Then you talk and it says, all right. Do we need this in our marriage to have a great marriage? And then he may say, I'm fine. If you write something, I don't care. And then you say, I'm not. I need some of those notes once in a while. And then he goes like, you do? The idea is that both of you here are going to find out what are some of the good habits that you still need. Are you with me now? What are the good habits that you still need? If they're no and they're not existent in your marriage and you haven't said anything, or maybe you said it but he never paid attention, or you said it and she never paid attention, here is your moment. Don't waste this moment. You're never going to have it as easy as you're having it right
now.
Speak
out, especially ladies. Sometimes we have a hard time.
Speak out. You do. Yeah. Speak out. Let him know. It says, honey, I really would love for us to hold hands, you know, more often. Maybe when we're driving. Well, maybe no, that's not a good idea. Well, yes, it's a good idea because you all hold your phones in your hand when you're driving. So if you hold your hands and you're driving, I'm sure you can hold the wife's hand or husband's hands once in a while. Well, you have to communicate. The idea is you got to talk about it. You got to share with each other what are the good habits that we don't have anymore, but we need them in our marriage. Or you go and scratch the ones that you don't care about. Like taking a shower together. I don't care about it, you say. I don't care about it either. Scratch them off. That does not mean anything to any of us. Yes, sir.
But who's going to drive the car if you got the phone in one hand and her hand in the other?
That is a good problem.
You got your knee.
Here's a good expert driver. Yeah, you go like this. Right. Park, love that. This is a great crowd. This is a great crowd. All right. So let's take the next 12 minutes here. We're going to call you back again. Talk about it. Talk about the no's that you have checked and see, do we need these to be reinstated back as a good habit or not? Talk about it. Give you a moment here to talk about it. We'll check with you in about 8 minutes. We never planned for this one, but I guess we could. Yeah. I'd be happy to if it's needed.
Yes. I don't know that particular
hang out a little bit
book,
after
but I am
this.
Familiar we with the author.
Chat.
Yeah, yes. Okay,
started to read it.
Okay. Do you want to schedule a little time?
Recommended by our famous pastor. And told us about this book, and it's based on data. So it's not just one of the millions of books like different opinions. It's based on interviewing thousands of couples and they kind of figure out, you know.
Yes, they do a lot of couples. They actually we went to one of their
conversation here. You have a whole week to talk about it, amen? But I'd like to just leave you with this, because we're just about running out of time. You got the idea what to talk about. But here's what I want, one final step I'd like you to do. I want you to swap your papers. Swap your paper. If you're a spouse here, swap it. Go for it. Swap it. Swap.
I can swap with my husband. He went to another class.
Make sure you take on the back, and then you can do it together. You will. This is a very committed wife. Okay. You swapped it already? Okay, swapped it. Here's what you need to do. Out of the 26, I want you to pick three that you would like your spouse to get good at it. Three. Just on the side of it, there is a right on the left side, on the between the number and the statement, there is a little line. Put a check mark. Big check, like this. Like this. A big check mark on the three that you want your spouse to get good at it, because that's a habit that you need in your marriage. Go for it. Go for it. Pick three out of the 26. I know you want to pick all 26, but not right now. Just check three. Three habits that you like your spouse to get good at it. Go for it. Read the 26 again if you want to. And then just three. Maybe you want to focus on the one that says no. And then you really want this. So you're gonna just go for it. And three. The three good habits that I want my spouse to really get good at it. All 26, right? You all finished already? Return it back to each other. Swap it back or return it back. Now I want you to look at those three check marks and go like, Look at them. Read them. This is going to be your love journey for the next 40 days. Your what? Your love journey for the next 40 days. You are going to commit because you want to nurture and protect. Say it with me, nurture and protect. Say it with me one more time, nurture and protect. These three simple habits that your spouse wants you to get good at it are going to improve and fortify and strengthen your marriage more than perhaps you ever seen it in the last 5 years. Because you're going to really focus on this. You're going to intentionally say, I'm going to do this. I didn't know that my spouse really needed this. I didn't know. Or maybe I did know, but I wasn't really too willing to acknowledge it. Or I forgot about it. But now he's telling me that I need to focus on these three. She's telling me that I need to focus on these three. All right? Does that make sense? Just for the fun of it, how many of you are surprised to see something checked there that you have not thought about it before or you didn't know about it? Let me see a hand here. One person here. Okay. Two. All right. Three. Four. Five. Good. The rest of you are really shocked that you cannot raise your hand. So my encouragement to you is that go and experience what God has ordained for you. Let me leave you with this Bible passage here from Ephesians 3:20. If you want to read this with me, let's read this together. Can you repeat it with me? Now to him who is what?
Able
to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that was in us. Now, some of you are here imagining and thinking, oh, how this is going to look like when these habits are back in place. When he, she really seriously does this more and more often. Well, the Bible says that God is willing to give you much more than you can what?
Ask
or think. You can't imagine that. And to have a God that is willing to come into our marriage and to give us much more than what you have. You know what that means? If you have a joyful marriage, and many of you, I can tell that many of you have here a joyful marriage. You're really enjoying your life together. You know what that means? You still don't have what God has intended for you. Because God says that he will give you much more than you even imagine. So if you have what you ask, a good marriage, God says, you haven't seen it yet. Because I want to give you much more than what you have. If you have a marriage that is somehow in a valley right now, in a transitional time, the promise goes for you too. God is willing to give you much more than you ask. Now, if you're single and you're already picturing and imagining this wonderful marriage, and still what you are imagining is not even what God has for you, because it's much more that he has for you. So how many of you will say thank you, Lord, for that? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hold hands to your spouse if you're here married. And let me have my wife here to come around, and we'll just have, my wife is going to have a short prayer for the ladies, and I'll have prayers for the husbands. So husbands, hold your hands, wife, and let's close with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to be here in this place, away from our daily routine. And thank you for nature and for everything that you have created. Thank you for marriage and for the good dreams that you have for our lives. And I pray for each lady here in this room, the ladies that are planning or maybe thinking about their future as a wife. I ask that you bless them and bless the young man or the man that you have for them as they come together. I also pray for every wife as they continue this journey. And I ask that your Holy Spirit be in their homes and in everything that they do for their husbands and for their children, their grandchildren, and for those around them. May you give them an equipment with everything that they need so that they can have this amazing home, amazing marriage that you have intended for them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, and we present before you every man, every husband here that you have ordained to be a husband, whether it's in the future, whether it's now. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will be upon them, and we as men, we are able to love our wives and our future wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Give us the empowerment, Lord, to fulfill our duties that you have given us in our homes, in our marriages, and may the Spirit of peace continue to encourage us to offer and give to our mates and our wives the blessing that you have ordained for us to give them. Thank you for this wonderful week that you have given us to enjoy. And there's so much more to talk. May more conversations continue about these these dreams and these desires. And after attending many of the seminars here, we go home strengthened, ready to live more successful and joyful families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.